Good morning. Today we read from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be sexual immortality. Thank you. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which is out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, who has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then on how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You can be seated and thank the Lord for grace.
Amen. There were some tongue twisters in there, weren't there? So, as we come to this time, we want to pray for things in our community that are going on, things that we need to lift up to the Lord. I want to pray for Mission Week as it's coming and all the safety and travels for our missionaries. I want to thank the Lord for grace and mercy because we all need it. And then there are many needs physically in our church body. Jim Olson, Ruth Becerra, Ashley Kostick, Gracie Barr. And then we want to pray for Joyce Kelly's brother, Ron Kildee, who's really going through a tough time physically and needs a lot of grace and mercy on his body. And then I want to continue to lift up this young man, Gary Thielander, this 13-year-old who has disappeared. And I would encourage you to continue to pray for his safety and that he would come home. So let's go into a time of prayer. Holy Father, we thank you and praise you for your grace and your mercy. Where would we be without it? And your love for us is greater than all of our failures. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we are excited about Mission Week and all that it holds. We pray for safety and protection for all of those traveling. We pray that it would be a great week and it would reawaken us to our own call to be messengers of Christ in this world. And Lord, we lift up some very dear people in our lives that are suffering physically. We would ask for your grace and mercy to be upon their bodies and upon their spirits. We pray for Jim Olson and Ruth Becerra and Ashley Kostick and Gracie Barr. And today we especially lift up Ron Kildee and Joyce Kelly's brother who's facing maybe even the end of life here. And we would ask for your mercy to be upon him and help him to feel your strength. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, may we understand how we are called to be children of God and what that means to live as children of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing our series on Ephesians, and this one is about what it means to be a child of God, how to walk in love, to imitate Christ, And so what does it mean to be a child of God is the question that we really have to ask this morning. And I may have jumped the gun here. I pressed that too early. But what does it mean to be a child of God? As we explore God's blueprint for our lives, we're exploring a list today that Paul gives us in the book of Ephesians that we want to tackle and view and see what it means for our lives. And if you have ever seen one of these, and I'm sure you almost have, because if you've gone to any store today, it seems like there's all kinds of posters or plaques that have rules, rules for life. And one of them is family rules for life. And I wanted to show you that video, but of the family rules, but it's a list of all kinds of things that would make a family more functional, that family would go better and easy. And it's a powerful list. And I'm going to read you that list since we can't see it. It's clean up after yourselves. Always tell the truth. Use kind words and respect each other. Always say please and thank you. Keep your promises. Do your best. Forgive others. Say I love you. Listen to your parents and work hard. Let's all agree that if a family would do that, that would be a wonderful place to live, don't you think? If we could just learn to do those simple things as a family, life would be easier. Well, in this book of Ephesians, Ephesians 5, Paul gives us a list of rules for a child of God. Rules that if we could apply them, would probably make our walk with Jesus a little easier. But the problem is this, is when we hear the word rules, there is something inside of all of us that is a little bit rebellious when it comes to rules, isn't there? If you're a child, you know, you have rules that say stuff like, don't run in the hallway. Kind of makes you want to run, doesn't it? Or you have, you know, the speed limit is 65. We all want to go 70 or more, don't we? Because after all, rules are meant to be broken. Aren't they? Rules are meant to be broken. And so there's this rebellious nature in us that wants to break rules. And as human beings, we're very good at breaking rules. Thank you, Seth. Seth is going to fix my dilemma here because I tried to fix it while I talked and I can't do two things at once. But Paul gives us this list of rules. Here's the list. Walk in love. Avoid all immorality, refrain from obscene language, don't let others deceive you, walk in the light, seek God's will and do it, use every opportunity for doing good, don't get drunk, be filled with the Spirit, use music to encourage each other and worship God. We did that already this morning. Be thankful in all things, submit to one another, in Christ. Don't you think that would make a great plaque? To hang on your wall, those 12 rules that the Apostle Paul gave us in this chapter, these 12 rules that are very, very significant and powerful, that if we could embody them, our walk with Christ would go so much better. But we all struggle, don't we? We all struggle because there's something in us. A fallen nature that wants to, let's be honest, break these sometimes. We want to break them. And as we are going to examine our own lives and look at these, I want to say a few things. There's something also inside of us that is quick to compare with other people, isn't there? You know, I might have my struggles on that list, but I can look at another person and go, wow. Yeah, but look at their struggle. It's really easy to be quick to compare and judge other people. But Jesus talked about that too, didn't he? Because if you remember, about 4 years ago, we actually had a log here on stage, and we talked about this verse. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye. So we make ourselves feel better sometimes by comparing ourselves to others and then think that we are better than we really are. And that's our struggle. So what I want you to do this morning is I'm going to have you evaluate yourself. In the bulletin, if you take it out, there's a list there of the 12 rules that the Apostle Paul gave us in Ephesians 5 here. I'm going to have you evaluate yourselves from 1 to 10. 10 being the highest, that you've mastered it. You always do this. You always walk in love. 1 to being you never walk in love. Okay? And just go down that list and do that. And while you're doing that list, I'm going to keep talking to drive you crazy so you can't think. But I'm going to keep talking because I want you to understand that we all fail to some degree. None of us are perfect. None of us will score 10 out of 10 in this list of rules that the Apostle Paul gives us in Ephesians. And that takes us right back to grace, doesn't it? Where would we be without grace? We desperately need grace. In 1 John 1:9, we're told this: if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that you have done that evaluation, I want you to do something. I want you to scribble out the numbers. Just get rid of the numbers. Because you know what? Those numbers are meaningless if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Those numbers are not meant to beat yourself up over. Oh, I only scored a 4 in walking in love with Christ. Ah, I'm just not there. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not a very good child of God, a very good Christian. If we want to evaluate ourselves based on what we do, we're going to fail. We need to learn to judge ourselves based on what Jesus has done for us. I love this quote from Erwin Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer says, "There is more grace in God's heart than there is in our sin." God's grace is greater. It's bigger. It's more awesome. In fact, this is taught throughout the Scripture. Psalm 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us," or our sins from us. God wipes the slate clean. Micah 7:19, "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities, our sins, underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea of forgetfulness," is how it's often referred to. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake, He made Him," God made Jesus, "to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." That in Jesus we are declared right. Now, if it's that simple, if it's that easy that we are simply forgiven of all our wrongdoings, why even try to become more than we are as children of God? Why don't we just totally say, grace and grace is enough? That's true. Grace and grace is enough. But I want us to understand another aspect about God. God really loves us. And God really wants what's best for us. He wants to give us what's most beneficial for us. You know, when a parent has a child. And this little child is a baby. It can't stand or walk, but then it starts to become a toddler and it starts to learn to stand. And what does the parent feel? Joy that their child is able to stand. But they wobble and they fall. And then the day comes when they take that first step and they fall. And then the day comes when they actually take 6 steps across the room and fall into one of the parents' arms, and the parent has to put it on Facebook and say, "My child walked today." And they're so excited and so thankful. You know what? Isn't that a picture of a child of God learning to walk into holiness? Learning to walk into those 12 rules that the Apostle Paul gave the Ephesians. Because we love to see our child grow and mature and develop. You know, a lot of people today overemphasize one of these areas in Christianity. They either emphasize grace or they emphasize truth. What we discover in Jesus Christ is He is full of grace and truth. For a child of God to imitate Jesus, they learn to walk in both grace and truth. You see, when we emphasize grace with no truth, we end up with people who don't even try to look like Jesus. Because they know, it doesn't matter. I'll just be forgiven anyways. But then when we have people who just emphasize truth, we don't have someone who looks like Jesus either. Because they're all rules, rules, rules. And they're ready to slap you on the wrist the moment you step out of it. Jesus is this perfect embodiment of grace and truth. When we stumble, we fall. Jesus picks us up, loves us, and celebrates that little bit of growth we may have experienced. And He wants to give us new hope. J.I. Packer says this: if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. A child of God wants to please his father, not to earn anything from his father. He already knows he's loved by his father. He already knows he has grace and mercy. But he just wants to please his father so much. He wants to see the joy in his father's eye. And so he strives to be holy, to be these 12 things and so much more of what the Bible teaches. But it's never to get or earn something from God. It's simply to show that his father is at work in his life. And so, how do we do that? How do we embrace God's desire for our life? There are so many passages of Scripture. But let me say that it's the Holy Spirit working in us through the grace that God has given us that brings about holiness in our lives. Jesus in John 15:4 said this: "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." In other words, on our own, we cannot. We need to walk in relationship with God. The Bible also in James 4, 7 through 10 talks about submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. I want to focus on those two words, submit and draw near. We walk in relationship with God. We truly, if we want to be a child of God, it's about surrendering and submitting and remaining and abiding in relationship with God. Again, I must reiterate, it's never to get something from God. We already have it. It's to let God, in that relationship, start to change and transform our character so that we become more like Jesus Himself. Randy Elkhorn said this, "Some act as if God's grace means sin doesn't matter, or it's inevitable that we will always keep falling. God's grace not only forgives our sins, it empowers us to live in holiness. Grace is not just what saved us once. It's what saves us every day." God's grace is available to us all the time. And God's grace is at work trying to change and transform us more into the image of the Father. I've probably shared this story with you before, but my oldest son, Nathaniel, when I was in seminary, he was only 2 years of age, but he was in his own bedroom, and he had closed the door, and it was awfully quiet for some reason. And so I opened the door, and he had taken a marker, and he had his shirt off, and he was drawing marks on his chest. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm putting hair on my chest because I want to be like you, Dad." I think he had more hair on his chest than I did, to be honest. But Paul's list here is really an opportunity for us to become more like our Father, our Heavenly Father, like Jesus. "I want to be more like you, Dad." And that's what this list is about. It's not to make us feel worse. It's an invitation to receive God's grace and truth in our lives to become more like Him. In Titus 2, 11 through 14, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works." Paul has given us this list as an invitation to become more like Jesus. What an invitation it is. This passage is a reminder that God wants to give us more. Not to make us feel worse, but to say, "Come, I have more grace. I have more of the Holy Spirit. If you'll just abide, submit, surrender, you can become more like Jesus yourself." Let's pray. Holy Father, I thank You and praise You that Your grace is great, greater than all of our sin. And Your truth is that You want to transform us more into Your image. Lord, there is a rebelliousness in myself and each and every one of us that wants to break the rules. Lord, take that away from us and let the Holy Spirit reign and rule in our lives and pour more grace into us so that ultimately we will look like Your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to receive all that You want to give us, Jesus. We pray in Your name. Amen.